Guys, I was blown away earlier just by Ben's testimony. I just loved it. It's my heart just to see that God will take anybody, anytime, and he will transform you. Absolutely transform you. So I absolutely love that. Love what Ben's doing in New York. And if you're keen to do that, go and talk to him. I'm sure he will bring you there and he'll get you a job to do. So I want to just take a few moments. There's not an awful lot of time left, but I want to take a few moments and talk about relationships. I was thinking about, you know, just this week, Valentine's, all that kind of stuff. We're thinking about love. Well, like, there's no better love out there than Jesus' love. There's just no better love than God's love. I think we've received it tonight. We've been hearing it tonight. We've been feeling it. And I thought about relationships, because inevitably, if you're going to fall in love, you're going to have this other thing called a relationship. It's going to probably find itself or be found in a relationship. And I thought about relationships this week, and I thought about what do they mean and how important they are. And I thought for just a few moments we'd think about it, because relationships do define you. No matter what you say, they always do. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15:33, do not be misled. So that's pretty cool that it says that at the beginning. Do not be misled, or don't be thinking this is not true. This is actually true, and here's what's true. Bad company corrupts good character. I mean, just hanging around just kind of bad company is going to corrupt you. It's going to corrupt your character. It's going to corrupt the way that you think, the ways that you go, and the things that you do. But when we get around good people, it's going to affect us. It's going to change us. It's going to be positive. And so relationships can either be encouraging this way, or they can be encouraging that way. Ben shared really well earlier that when he was in negative relationships, he just went from strength to strength that way, which was not a good way. But then when he got into a relationship with Jesus, everything changed and he went totally the other way. And now look at his life. He's being effective for God. He's doing great things for God. And not only is he affecting people here, but he's affecting people in New York and America. Amazing. Only God can do that. And I believe God is saying for us tonight is that we've got to be careful with our relationships. We've got to be mindful of the relationships that we're in, because they do define us. They are leading us somewhere. They are taking us somewhere. And the relationship that you've got today could be the same relationships that you've got in 10 or 15 years' time. And will that be a good thing, or will that be a bad thing? Will that be an okay thing, or will that be a God thing? And I want to focus everything that we think about tonight just for these few moments around what God says in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this. I believe this is just the ultimate person you're ever going to meet, and then therefore will become the ultimate relationship. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is Jesus. He's speaking about Jesus, speaking about what Jesus would do on the cross. Jesus has laid down his life for us. It's like the perfect person you could ever meet. In a relationship, you're thinking this. Now, if you're a guy, then you're hoping to meet a girl, hopefully someday, if you haven't met one already. And so in that relationship, the girl just wants to change you completely. And the guy's trying to resist every change going. It just seems to be the way it works. And then at some point, it all calms down, and then she's like, you'll do. Because you're just not going to change anymore. And so he's either going to do, or it's like, you'll not do, see you later. But when it comes to relationship with God, think about this for just a moment. When it comes to relationship with him, he's absolutely perfect. And so he'll more than do. There's just no time where you'll catch him on a bad day. It's like, you know, I'm really in love with you, I'm really in love with you. Leave me alone. You know, God is never going to say that. He just absolutely loves you. He's crazy about you. He is jealous for you, the Bible says. And you're never going to find a better relationship than that. And so as we move forward tonight and just look for a few moments about this, I want us to have that in our mind's eye. I want us to know that if you're a Christian tonight, then the greatest relationship that you will ever have is Jesus. Keep him number one. Keep him the source. Keep him your strength. Keep him right up there. And don't let anything else come in between. And be mindful of this as we think about other relationships. How will that relationship with that person affect my relationship with him? How will it affect him? Because if you've got a really good friend, I was thinking about it earlier, and I was thinking that maybe you've got a really good friend and you meet them every Wednesday. They may not be a boyfriend or girlfriend, it might just be a really good friend. Maybe a family friend, whatever. You meet them every Wednesday, and then someone new comes along, and you're like, wow, they're a really cool person. And then they turn around and go, I'm free on Wednesdays, does that suit you? And then you've got this predicament and this decision to make where you think about, well, I've got my really important person. Is this person better than them? And then I'm starting to change. I'm starting to think. And I'm starting to filter my choices through that. And I think tonight it's really important that we do that with Jesus. It's really important that if he is our number one and we believe that and we say that and he has transformed us, then keep number one. And then every relationship that comes by and we get into and we're going through, or even every relationship that we've got at the moment, we're constantly just filtering that through, saying, how is that affecting my relationship with Jesus? How is he or she affecting my number one? Because if he or she is affecting my number one in a bad way, I don't want them. They're not worth it because Jesus is perfect. I'm never going to find anybody better than him. He always loves me. He always likes me. He's never too busy. He's always kind to me. He's always nice to me. You know what I mean? You're never going to find a better relationship than that, because maybe that's what you're looking for in terms of relationship. Everybody's looking for love. And in love, you're hoping that they're going to love you back. In love, you're hoping that they're going to say, you're pretty cool, you're pretty nice, I like you. Jesus is saying it, he's screaming it, I love you, I love you, I love you. No greater love than this, than to lay his life down for you. That's what Jesus did. And so every relationship going forward, or every relationship that we've had or have at the moment, filtered through that. How is it affecting my relationship with Jesus? If you know him, if you don't come to know him, he's the best. You will never find anybody greater. He is my ultimate relationship. And so as we think about that, let's just move forward for just a few moments and think of just some of the things that God's put in my heart. I'm going to skip a few of them just because I don't want to drag forever. We need to, as Christians, keep reminding ourselves of our number one. Of our number one, of our everything, who is Jesus. I do not want anything to corrode that. I only want relationships in my life that are going to benefit that. And what I'm not saying is that I don't want to only have Christian friends, or only want to have people that, you know, are kind of, you know, just that are, I don't want to, in other words, I don't want to have anybody that's non-Christian. Like, I do not want to say that. I want to be around people. I want to be connected to people that I can show them about Jesus. But in any shape or form, if they're trying to compromise my relationship with Jesus, then I just take a step back for a second. And I just say, right, I'll just take a step. And I continue on with Jesus. Because I do not want to put at risk anything at all in terms of my relationship with Jesus. Finding the right partner. I looked at this verse earlier. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Again, what this verse is not saying is, don't have non-Christian friends. It's not saying that. It's saying this, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, don't be incredibly connected. If you were a boyfriend and a girlfriend, that is pretty much saying that. It's saying, don't be a boyfriend and a girlfriend if they're not a Christian. Just as black and white as that. It's just meaning that. But maybe it could be like a business relationship, or maybe it could be something really deep, a really deep partnership. And the Bible's warned us tonight, and it's just saying this, be careful of those deep, meaningful relationships and those deep connected partnerships. Because if they are unbelievers, it's very difficult. Because what has light got to do with darkness? And I was thinking about it just over this last few weeks about light, and it's just like, it's all encompassing, it's all engrossing, it's just bright, bright, bright. And the total opposite is just darkness. Because the moment that I have any type of light at all, it dispels all the darkness and it's totally gone. And God is saying tonight, just be careful with the close friendships and the close partnerships that we have. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. I was thinking about what yoke meant, and if you look it up, it simply means this, that back in the old days, back in the old days, they used to plow ground with not machines, but instead with like bulls and oxes and stuff like that. And so what they do is, to prepare the ground and get the ground ready, they would work in partnership together. And they bring two of these kind of ox together, and they put this kind of wooden thing over the back of their necks. It's called the yoke. And so they put it over them, and if they found two that were kind of similar strength, similar ability, they just played straight lines, and you just get a great field ready for sowing great seeds. But if you find an animal that was slightly weaker than the other one, a bit smaller, not as strong, you know what would end up happening? Instead of going straight, it just starts to turn a bit, and before you know it, you're going in circles. And God is saying tonight, if we get in deep, meaningful relationships, especially those intimate relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, and are unbelievers, then we've got to be really careful, because we could end up just going round in circles. End up going round in circles. God is making us mindful tonight just to be careful. Instead of working together, we're at odds with one another, because we're finding it so hard to work together. And so what ends up happening is you overcompensate for the other person to try and bring them around, to try and hope to bring them straight again. But eventually you just become exhausted. And inevitably what ends up happening is you just, bad company corrupts good character. You end up becoming more like them than they do, becoming more like you. And so tonight we've got to be careful. We're being real. We're being outspoken in a sense. But we're just taking what God says in his word and we're bringing it to your ears so that you can just take it into your heart and just say, God, what are you speaking to me on this? What are you saying to me in these things? And my heart is not this. My heart is not to share a message like this and then for you to go home and make a list of all the people you're never speaking to again, or going home and deciding who you're never going to talk to again. It's just to take this stuff into our hearts and then just say, God, what are you saying to me about this in terms of my relationships? What are you saying to me in terms of maybe the relationships I'm going to get into in the future? God's wanting to make us mindful, because sometimes we go through pains and hardships that with the wisdom of God, we could have avoided or could have gone right. Now, if you have made a bad decision, or if you're currently making bad decisions, or you feel like you're stuck in something, God is full of grace. He is full of love, and He is still for you. He is not against you, because He is the perfect relationship. He does not turn against us. He does not start to love us less. His love is unconditional. Remember, He's your number one. Make Him your number one. Do not let Him slip to any other level other than that top level. Make Him number one. I want to share this one tonight because I think it's really important. It says in 1 Corinthians, are you ready for some of these? This is heavy stuff. Come on, let me share some of this. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, flee from sexual immorality. No, just shut up. Don't even talk about this. You know, this is what the Bible says. All other sins a person commits are on the outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Because ultimately, whenever we get into a relationship, especially male-female relationship, and we're thinking, I'm going to get married to this person, or I'm going to get really serious with this person, then love starts to spring up, but then other emotions start to come in too. And we start to get intimate together. We start to get connected together. And then we think to ourselves, we want to go further. We want to go further with each other because we love each other. Now, God created this amazing thing called sex, and He made it for marriage. And anything outside of that, it's not right. Because it only fits in this one place, and when it fits in that place, it's just perfect. When it's not in that place, it's just destruction. It's terrible. It just takes from you. It's trying to kill you. It's trying to destroy you. And I want us to think tonight, because sometimes we never talk about these things, and sometimes we're like, what does that mean? Should I not? What can I get away with? Would it be okay? Would it not be? God is saying this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Just flee from it. Get away from it. It's going to be no good to you. All other sins, check what it's saying here. All other sins a person commits are on the outside. They're just like kind of outside sins. But sexual immorality, you're committing it on the inside as well as the outside. There's something deeper that's going on. Because you see, when we connect together in an intimate relationship like that, and we come together like that, something is happening not only in our minds, in our bodies, but also spiritually. And God's saying, be mindful, be careful, because there's connections that are being made. There's things that are taking place in this relationship. And even though you really love each other, and even though it feels like the most natural thing to do, you gotta be careful. You gotta refrain from it, because if you're not married, it is not correct. It is not right. And I think all of us, if we're honest, we get into deep meaningful relationships, and maybe we're not married, but maybe we're engaged or this or that, and we start to think other things. We start to think, what can I get away with? What would be okay and what would not be okay? No one will see, no one will know. But God is saying tonight, flee from those things, because they're going to destroy you. They're trying to destroy you. And even though you think what you're doing is coming together, and we're loving each other and we're blessing each other, you're really actually affecting the other person. I mean, if God is your number one relationship, you got to remember that really what you're doing is affecting their relationship with Him, and you're affecting your own relationship with Him, because it says not only are you committing sin on the outside, but you're committing sin on the inside. And so tonight, God is saying, flee from sexual immorality. Because when we come together like that, you know what we're actually doing? We're becoming one. We're becoming complete in a sense. We're sharing together in mind, body, and spirit. And so whatever the thing is, if you're not married to that person, I don't want to become one with them. I don't want to become connected to them in that sense. I want to become one with the person that I'm married to, because I know it's not right. And so God is saying tonight, let's be real. Let's be bold about this thing. Let's not hide about these things. Again, if we have made mistakes, or we have done things we're not proud of, or we have been too far, God is full of grace. He is full of grace. And all He says is, come to me, and I'm willing to receive. But we got to realize that there's bad and then there's good. We got to realize what's right and what's wrong. We got to realize that some of the things that we're trying to make right is not actually right, it's wrong. Some of the things that we think we're doing for love, we're actually affecting the other person instead of loving the other person. Some of the things that we think we're doing because we really love someone and because it all feels great is actually not great at all. It is destroying on the inside. It's affecting our body, it's affecting our minds, and it's affecting our spirits. And God is saying tonight through His word, flee from those things. Get away from those things. Be brave. Be strong. You know what true love would actually be in a relationship when you're not married? Is to refrain from those things. True love would be that. True love would be to step back and go, do you know what? I'm not going to be led by the lust of my flesh. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to refrain from those things. I'm going to go for God, because this is what God has called me to do. Why? Because He's my number one relationship. I don't need anybody else to satisfy me. You know, sometimes if we let Him slip, then it starts to feel like I need that boyfriend or I need that girlfriend to satisfy me in whatever levels that might be. But if we continue to keep Jesus number one, He satisfies me. He's all that I need. I don't need anybody else. I'm not dependent on anybody else in a sense. He is it for me. And God is saying tonight, keep me number one. Be mindful of who I am. I'm the one who loves you. Keep loving me. filter every other relationship through me to decide if it's good or bad in the sense of what we're doing or who we're with. How do I find the one? I want to just flick through a couple other things that I really felt strong that God has put in my heart. How do I find the one? You don't need to find the one. You've already found the one. You have found Jesus. You have found Jesus. I want to assure you, I want to bring peace to your heart. Some of the biggest worries and the biggest concerns that we have whenever we're in 20s, 30s, whatever age you are, if you're single and you want to be married, then one of the biggest, most worrying concerns that you have is like, when am I going to find this person? When am I going to find this person? When is God going to bring this girl or bring this guy to me? When am I going to find the one? Well, just even remove that thought from your mind. In that context, there's no such thing as the one. You're never going to find the one. Jesus is the one. Love comes down at the end of it. I'm choosing to love. I've chosen to love. Jesus, when it came down to me, says, I've decided to call him or her friend. Do you know that Jesus decided way before you were even born that you're still going to be a friend of mine, even though maybe you hated me? Imagine when Ben was just going through selling drugs, doing drugs, living his whole life. Jesus way back had said, he's still a friend of mine. I'm still willing to die for him. He doesn't know it yet, but he's still a friend of mine. Jesus is the perfect relationship. He's the perfect friend. And so even when we're not doing the things we're supposed to be, and even when we're not doing things that we'd be proud of or wanting anybody else to see, Jesus says, I'm still a friend of yours, and I proved that when I died on the cross. You weren't even born yet, but you were still worthy. You were still worth it. I still wanted to do that for you. And so tonight, how do I find the one? Forget about the one and start loving Jesus. Forget about the one and start loving Jesus. And I thought of a funny analogy. What happens if you find the one, and then you love her for a few years, and then you think, she was actually number two, and she was number one? You know what I mean? And it happens all the time. Because we just have this false sense of the number ones. But Jesus is my number one. Everybody else is second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Everybody else. He is my number one. I wrote it down later on. I'm just going to skip to it. The truth is, the more in love with Jesus you are, the more attractive you will become to other people. Absolutely. Fundamental. The more in love with Jesus you are, the closer your walk is with him, the more attractive you will be for everybody else. Why is it taking so long? Because you're not ready yet. Why have I not found the one yet? Because I'm not ready yet. I think a lot of the times that's what God's saying in terms of relationship. Because you're not ready yet. You've still got places, you've still got areas in your life to grow in. You've still got things that need to change in your life. You've still got ways that need to change or turn around or go a different way in a sense. You've got relationships that need to be corrected. And maybe you've got a number one relationship that needs to come back into number one. I want to read Matthew 6 and then I'm pretty much going to be done. It says, therefore do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? And I'm just going to add in a couple other ones. Hopefully it's okay. Or who am I going to marry? Or how am I going to find the one? Or how do I know if she's good for me? Or how do I know if she's bad for me? Or how do I know this? Or how do I know that? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows absolutely everything you've got need of. The Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. God makes it very clear. He loves people to get together. He loves people to be in relationships and to get married. But he says, for your heavenly Father knows everything that you have need of. But seek first. I mean, this is how easy it is, in a sense. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Who's my number one? Jesus. Well, I just want to get closer to him. I'm going to seek him for everything I've need of. I need a job, I need a wife, I need whatever. I'm going to seek him. He's the one that's going to give me all these things. I'm not going to go seek him for myself because it's simple today. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. God is saying it. Do not worry. I mean, that's such an easy thing to say, but maybe you're a worrier. You're like, but you don't know. God's saying, do not worry about tomorrow. I know you. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God's just saying tonight, don't worry. Don't worry. Put your trust in me. Start to shine for me. Final couple of things in terms of relationships. Just to encourage us and lift us up. In terms of the movies and stuff, it's always like, you know, first kiss, fall in love. You know, it's just the set. She's the one for me. He's the one for me. I've seen her for the first time. She's the one. This is it. We're getting married tomorrow. It's going to be all good. But you know what God is saying tonight? Is that I'm your number one. I'm your number one. And so, yeah, first kiss or first look could make all the difference. But it might just be that they're not that compatible with you. It might just be that they're not the perfect one. And it may come to a time where you're like, I just got to walk away. Because he's my number one. He's my number one. I always want to do what my number one says because He is my number one. One of the biggest things and one of the hardest things is whenever you are in a relationship is just to say, wow, I'm not sure, especially because we're not married yet, I'm not sure if this is still right yet. I'm not sure. And in those moments, you got to really pray and seek God, and you either be brave and you say this or you say that. In those moments, it's just between you and God and the other person. But what I would say is this, is that when it comes to relationships, there is another person there. There's always another person, the person that you're going out with, the person you're engaged to. And guys, we got to be really careful, guys and girls, I mean that all together. We got to be really careful in some of the ways that we break up or we change our minds or we do this or we do that. We've got to be really careful because it can really affect people. It can really change people. Now, I'm all for it in the sense if you know flat out that just you've made an awful mistake and you want to change it before you get to marriage, that's great. But sometimes we're changing when we shouldn't be changing and sometimes we're not changing when we need to change. And so I just want to leave that with you and with God, but there's going to be no golden rule in that other than be prayerful, but be mindful of the other person as well. And in that context, it comes to the other thing as well, is that sometimes we pray and we say, well, God has told me I'm going to marry her or marry him. But if God has not told him or her the same thing, then there's only so much you can do because it's a relationship. You remember? You've got to be connected with someone. And so again, we've got to be, he's my number one, I'm going to filter everything through him, and I want to find someone who loves the Lord too. Some people think that, you know, just going to marriage or just finding someone to marry is going to fix everything. It won't. It just cements what you've already got. It just makes permanent what you've already got. And so it's not the answer to everything. It is a wonderful thing. It is a fantastic thing when you find the right person, when you find the right girl or the right guy, when God's brought the right person to you. And so when it comes to relationships, we think about it in terms of what's God saying to me? When we think about relationships, my goal is this. I want to get so close to Jesus that I'm just shining for him, and then I'll attract the right person for me. That's what God is saying. I want to just lift off the burden in terms of when am I going to find this person, when am I going to find him or her, and just lift that off and just say, I'm going for Jesus. I'm going for him. And along the way, I'll keep my eyes open. I'll not be, you know, blind to the people that come along. Absolutely. I'll keep my eyes open. But my number one focus is him because he is my number one relationship. And then when we get in there and we get into our relationships, let's not be people of fairy tales and think that it should all be just bliss and wonderful and Disney. There's going to be hard times. It's going to be difficult. But God is good. And keep him your number one. And together your number one will keep you going strong. Guys, tonight we just got to be real with these things. We've got to be upfront about those things. And as we said earlier, when it comes to like sexual sins and impurities and those kind of things, we've got to be brave. We've got to be bold. And you've got to take a stand against it because it will affect you. It will bring harm to your relationship. It will do damage. Now, the Lord can repair and he will do. But why not just stop and save for later? Why not just refrain and let him restore and bring you further for again? God is gracious. He is wonderful. Whatever mistakes we'll make, he's gracious to restore us. Whatever things that we'll do that we shouldn't, God is always there for us. But when it comes to relationships, make Jesus your number one. Everything else is going to flow from that. I want to read that final verse again, and then we're done. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all things that you need, because he knows everything that you need, will be added to you. Amen. Can we stand together? We're going to worship and just finish out with a song. Amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, let's pray tonight. Lord, I love you. Lord, you know the ways that you're speaking to each one of us, and sometimes you're speaking to somebody different than the next. Lord, tonight we're coming into your presence, Lord, and maybe you're saying things to us that we've never heard before. Maybe you're reminding us of things that we never knew before, or maybe you're just confirming things in our heart that we already knew. But Lord, I just want to lift up off the pressure in terms of relationship again and again and again, and remind us that Jesus is perfection. He is our perfect one. He is the one that we need. And even when we find the one and we get married to the one, Jesus is still our number one. He's still our number one. And in fact, that's the best thing that we can do. Whenever you get together and you get married to the person, Stephen and Lisa's going to do that in a few weeks' time. The best thing that they can do for each other is to continue to make Jesus number one. Continue to do that. There's so much that we can say about it, but he's never not going to be your number one. Never, ever. No one's going to take that place. No one should, no one can, no one could. It'll always wind up in a mess if you force it in. Only Jesus can be number one. He's my everything. But in that, he will cause me to love the person that he's drawn me beside with all my heart to the best of my ability. Lord, I just pray tonight for wounds and hurts. I pray tonight, Lord, for mistakes and regrets. And I thank you, Lord, that you restore all things. Lord, if we come before you and we repent or we say sorry, we turn around, then Lord, you will heal us and you will set us free. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for things that we've done before, things that maybe even we're doing right now, when we're not proud of them, when we know they're not right. Lord, give us strength to be free. Give us strength to be bold. Lord, I pray for the relationships that we might be in or may have been in, and maybe they've hurt us or maybe they've damaged us. Lord, restore us in Jesus.